Hello and welcome to the Tom Hamer Appreciation Society. I'm today's chair. My name's Jordan Warland. I hope you're well. I hope you're good. I hope you're loving the fact that Cambridge United have registered their first victory in the third tier of English football since April 2002. Big win at home to Burton Albion on Saturday, rounded off a good week for points returns for the Ewes after Tuesday night's hard-fought draw away to Plymouth. It's a good week for points, but wasn't a good week for all areas of the club, with the sad news that club captain Greg Taylor is looking at a lengthy injury. Right, we're going to cover all those points in today's pod and also look ahead to the two fixtures we've got this week, which are Millwall and Bolton. As always, I'm joined by a couple of panellists, the first of whom was just a young'un in April 2002. Good afternoon, Mr. Julian Roberts.
Hi, mate. I hope you're... Are you suggesting that Tom is significantly older than me?
He certainly looks it.
He's wizened beyond his years.
Julian, tell the people how old you were in April 2002.
I was six in April 2002. You must have been in your 40s then, George? 30s?
Not quite. But I was thinking about it earlier. I was just gearing up to do my GCSEs. I would have been doing them in the May of that year. So that's
the prime of your life.
It's kind of where it all went a bit wrong. But isn't it great? It's just like a good example of like how exciting it is that we're at this level and we've got sort of generations of people that haven't seen us sort of play at this level. So it just goes to show what a good season it is for the club in terms of sort of moving forward. Second panelist got to bed at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning after a long night in Plymouth. Good afternoon, Tom Walker.
Hello, mate. Good to be back. What were we all worried about?
6 a.m. getting to bed, was it worth it?
Yes, it was worth it. That's
the least convincing yes I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know, Jordan, a lot of things have changed since the last time we played in League One, but Plymouth is still miles away. It's still really far away.
Tom spent the entirety of the journey back just baiting out Plymouth fans on Twitter.
Well, I was just going to say exactly that. I know Tom Walker as the man who conquered League Two and winding up Grimsby fans. And it's like, what's he going to do now we're in League One? How's he going to get over that? The answer is he's going to bait all the Plymouth Argyle fans.
It's brilliant to see the team stepping up to this level on the pitch and Tom stepping up to this level on Twitter as well. I think it's one of the positives that has been less discussed this season.
Yeah, well, I've had a good pre-season, so I'm feeling raring to go.
Right, lads, let's talk about Saturday and our first win of the season. 3-0 against a team who came into that fixture with a 100% record, including pretty impressive victories against Sunderland and Ipswich. Julian, I'm going to start with you, mate, because we spoke midweek about predictions for the game and you were confident in a victory. Then we spoke at half time, and even though the first 45 minutes we agreed was pretty impressive for the Ewes, you had this feeling though that we weren't going to get the job done and Burton were going to sneak it 1-0. So I just want to check in with your emotions and how the last 48 hours were and what do you think happened second half, other than obviously a couple of nice deflections that managed to get us the win?
First of all, yesterday was absolutely brilliant. As you say, the first whole generations that haven't seen us win in League One, and it was such a brilliant afternoon to finally get that done, because you don't want that lingering over your head for too long as a team. Last Saturday at Accrington, I remember saying to Tom on the, as we came out of the ground, and obviously we didn't do a pod after Accrington, but probably less said about it the better. That was a pretty convincing win there for Accrington, even though the scoreline might suggest otherwise. But for me, they sort of did a bit of a number on us there and they deserved the 3 points. And I remember saying to Tom afterwards, more than anything, forget Plymouth because it's a Tuesday night in Plymouth. Next Saturday at home to Burton is such a massive game for us now in terms of getting our first win. And then in the week when me and you were chatting, Jord, I actually did a little bit of research on Burton, which isn't something that we do often on this pod. And if you look at their points per game coming into yesterday under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, since he took over for the second time in January, their points per game is 1.83, which, if you put that over a 46-game season, is it puts them nowhere, never below fifth and always around third, fourth. I don't think they quite break into the automatics with that. But it's just a sign of quite of how well he's done with this Burton side. Obviously, they went on an incredible run at the end of last season under him and stayed up. And they might not be one of the biggest names in this division, but they have all the attributes of a really, really good side. And I still think they will do very, very well this year, probably punching a little bit above their weight in terms of maybe the size of some of the teams around them that I think they will finish above. So to go back to your point, I was confident of a win, but more out of my heart said that more than my head, if you know what I mean. If you looked at any sort of actual logic of the game, it was always going to be a really, really tough afternoon. And then that first half, I thought we just played really, really well. We pressed them high. We put pressure on them. The amount of time standing in the NRE that you saw Smith chasing down every single ball in their centre half and the right back that I'm sure Tom will come on to, absolutely levering it out of play because they had no options going long, restricting them to really, I mean, hardly any chances, really. And then my point to you, Jord, at half-time was like, well, we've played really, really well here. We've done everything we can against a team with all the accolades, as I just said, and like you said, they come off the back of beating Sunderland and Ipswich. So that was a brilliant first half performance. It had 1-0 Burton written all over it for me. A late 70th minute goal on the break, and then they just defend it until the last minute. And that was obviously the pessimist in me. But I mean, it was one of them where we spoke after the game, and you were like, well, you know, it would have been nice to have had one sort of clear goal that wasn't a deflection or an own goal. And I do see your point, and I'm not against that, because I know what you mean. Like, if Nibs had scored at the end, maybe that one-on-one, there would have been the satisfaction to just scoring like a normal sort of goal that had sort of, you know, that wasn't helped in any way by them. But I do think you create your own luck, and I thought we played really well first half and got no rewards for it. And then in the second half, we got ourselves into those positions. And the way Wes played, I mean, we'll come on to that. But for me, I don't think anything changed in the second half, but I honestly think it's one of those cliches that you do just make your own luck. And yeah. I just thought, it's weird as well, because when you look at the stats for the game, if you just looked at the stats and didn't see the result, we'd have got battered. They had 9 shots on target, like 19 shots in the game to our 7. And according to, you know, the stats websites that I use, we had 0 big chances, clear-cut chances. And I just didn't get that. I don't know about you two, but I didn't get that impression watching the game. I honestly thought I felt like we were on top and we were hassling them really high up and pressuring them. And I thought we were really good for it, personally.
They had a lot of shots first half, didn't they? But they were also down on personnel. I don't think they had any of their first choice strikers playing. And I think they had a winger playing up top instead. Tom, my first question to you was going to be, there's a couple of sort of League One pundits that we follow on Twitter who were quite confused by the outcome yesterday, firstly because of the data and the XG like Julian was hinting at, but also just the form that Burton had had over the first 3 games. So Julian's put his cards on the table there and said that we made our own luck. So I guess my question to you was it lucky yesterday with the goals and the deflections, or was it a deserved result?
No, I don't think it was lucky. I mean, the way that the goals came about is obviously not what you'd expect in a 3-0 win, but I don't think there was really any part of the game where I felt uncomfortable. And obviously Burton came into having won all their league games up until that point. Julian mentioned obviously they've beaten Sunderland and Ipswich, are obviously probably the two favourites to, you know, finish in the automatic places this season, and Burton obviously beat them. So it's a really good indication, firstly, to like the strength of the actual league as a whole, I think. That, you know, you can look at the teams that are in this division, and clearly Burton aren't one that sort of jump off the page at you, but, you know, the stats speak for themselves. Obviously a very, very good team. And if you look at the players that they've got, you know, Akins is someone who's caused problems at this level for a long, long time. But, yeah, I mean, just on our performance, I was genuinely just very impressed. I think it was just one of those days where quite a lot of our players, pretty much all of our players, just played very well. And Burton had a lot of shots. Mitchell had a brilliant game. There was one save at the end, which seemed almost impossible. I'm genuinely not sure how he managed to kind of get across and sort of hook it out like he did. But he obviously had a good game. But I still never really felt there were too many moments in the game where they sort of carved us open. And I think for a team that are clearly as capable as Burton are at this level, that's quite impressive, and that's pretty reassuring. And I thought the way that the goals did come about, I mean, I feel like Julian said, really, we sort of earned them with the quality that we were showing. I mean, Houlihan was frankly ridiculous yesterday, as he has been pretty much since he signed, really, you know, sort of for the best part of a year. But yeah, I thought we were very good value for the win. I thought pretty much in all the sort of key areas of the pitch, we sort of won our battles. That'll obviously please Bonner. You know, Digby was brilliant yesterday. The two centre forwards I thought were excellent. They really didn't give the centre back sort of a moment's sleep, and the plumber that they had a right back didn't really know what to do.
Well, just on that, Tom, two centre forwards. Did you find yourself walking to the game Saturday afternoon thinking, I wish Bonner starts with two up top, I'm done with just seeing us play one up top? Because it was a change that I know some of the fan base have been asking for, but perhaps it was, I was a little bit surprised seeing the team sheet and seeing Smith start there. I wasn't entirely sure if he would be an out-and-out striker or if he'd be playing more sort of to the on the right-hand side or something like that. But it was obvious from first half that it was a conventional 4-4-2 in the striker sense, less so in the midfield, which we'll touch on in a second. But were you in the camp of saying I wanted to see us play a second striker?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, we looked more effective against Accrington, certainly. We looked like we could sort of really apply pressure with two up top. And in some ways, I do think it brings the best out of Ironside to have someone sort of running off him. But having had the talks that we've had sort of, you know, building up to this point, about the way that we think we're going to set up this season, I'm quite surprised that it's only taken sort of four games for us to actually change our shape. But I thought it worked well. I wasn't, you know, clamouring for two up top. It's not something that, you know, particularly concerns me, whether it's one or two. I know there's a lot of people who think that if we're playing at home, we should always have two strikers, and that's, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinions. I'm not sure it's, you know, always necessarily the right thing to do. But yesterday, I feel like Bonner felt we could cause them problems. I mean, the main concern that I have and have had with, you know, playing two strikers is that it does make it difficult for Wes to get into his best position. But, I mean, he was just sort of everywhere anyway, so it didn't really matter too much. But, I was a bit surprised that we did it from the start. It seems to have been the switch that Bonner makes about 70, 75 minutes. But, I think it just sort of clicked really well, and I thought in sort of key areas of the pitch we were good, and obviously it was a good debut for obviously Masterson, who just came in. Those two centre backs that they could build up some decent, you know, a sort of decent partnership. The two midfielders looked very comfortable at this level, and the two forwards didn't really give them a moment's sleep. So I was genuinely very impressed, I think, coming out of the game.
Yeah, we need to talk about the defence and praise Mitov and Masterton and Jones in more detail. Before we do, let's wrap up with the sort of the attacking part of our game from yesterday. Julian, I'm going to give you two options, mate. Would you like to talk about Sam Smith or Wes Houlihan? Because I've got a question on both.
Wes, please.
Of course it's Wes. Top answer, isn't it? Well, yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, follow up the point that Tom's kind of hinted at there. If we go with two up top, what does that mean for Wes Houlihan? Obviously, the answer last season for the second half was the diamond. Yesterday, the midfield was a rather odd shape, wasn't it? You had Digby and O'Neill quietly and efficiently sort of just being those that sort of break up play. But then you had Brophy and Wes again in quite sort of narrow positions. Brophy pushed out onto the right, which perhaps isn't his best side, and saw him cutting in a lot. Where would you like to see, how would you like to see the team line up in our next home game on Saturday against Bolton? Would you want to keep two up top, or would you rather switch back to a position where Wes is more central, just behind the striker?
I think it's interesting with Wes, and Tom's right, that the sort of my hesitancy for playing two up top is that you do end up having to play Wes maybe in what you might describe as his least effective position. In a less effective position. But if you watch the performance yesterday and describe Wes as anything other than effective, then you're not watching the game properly. I mean, just before going into talking about the formation, the guy is a joke. It's like he's getting better. I don't know if it's to do with now watching him in person. I don't think it is, because we watched enough of him last season. You got a sense of how good he was last season. He was unbelievable yesterday and at Accrington in a 2-1 defeat. He has just time on the ball that other players don't seem to have. And I know we've spoken about him so much, but I just wanted to get that in again, that I left that ground yesterday. It's genuinely a pleasure to watch the guy at the moment. And I don't see him slowing down. I mean, let's not talk about next season, but you don't watch him and go, oh, that, look, he's looking a bit leggy here. He knows when to use his energy properly. He knows when to sprint back for balls. He knows. You see him yesterday, he's like, he's playing nominally on the left, right? But the amount of times, I mean, look at the third goal. He's the one who slips Williams through on the right-hand side. And he's playing further wide than Brophy on that hand side.
Yeah, I mean, he had a hand in all three goals, right?
Yeah.
The pass to Smith, it was his cross for the second, which, you know, you put balls into areas like that. If someone doesn't turn it in as an own goal, someone gets on the end of it. And I think that ties into the point that you both were making about making your own luck. You know, you do that time and time again, you're going to see a return on there.
And sorry, to go back to your question, George, to continue on that, if you get Wes in the right positions as many times as you can, there's a better chance of scoring a goal, right? So as Tom was saying, what is nice when we play 4-2-3-1, Wes has complete freedom to play wherever he likes without the defensive shackles of maybe playing out wide. And from my memory at the start of last season, I'm thinking back to the first few games like Carlisle, Morecambe, etc. We did play a flat 4-4-2 with Wes on the right in front of Noyle. And then we switched that up towards, from my memory, it's like November, December. Someone stop me if I'm wrong. We moved towards Diamond. And obviously that was effective in very different ways. But so to answer your question, with Bolton, I think what we'll see Bonner do a lot, and he hinted at it in his post-match interview yesterday, is we'll see him play different formations and different styles depending on the opposition. And one thing that was really satisfying about yesterday's performance that I really hope we try and match against Bolton is the intensity of a home game and making the Abbey a really, really, really difficult place to come for anyone. And that part of that is pressing high up the pitch. People like Smith just giving them absolutely no time on the ball, Ironside doing everything that Ironside does. So I think against Bolton, I would probably be surprised if he didn't go for the same formation. But I don't know enough about Bolton's actual team to know if that's a completely stupid thing to say. And playing two against Bolton is suicide. But I would be surprised if he didn't play a similar system. And Wes just seems to have that sort of that liberty to do what he likes, and it didn't get us in trouble yesterday, but I would say that that's maybe going the other way. If Wes finds himself out on the right and then they double up on Iredale on the left, that might be where the formation comes a little bit unstuck.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll talk about Bolton in part two. Just a quick answer there, Julian. They play a 4-2-3-1 normally, so be interesting to see if we match to compare to match them. I want to talk about the defence, but before that, I feel, Tom, we just need to give a special praise to Sam Smith. It was his first start of the season, I think. Definitely his first goal of the season, although a slight deflection. His mobility was just fantastic, wasn't it? He seemed to have this extra nous as an attacker that caused a few more issues than perhaps having someone like Shiloh Tracy or Brophy in that kind of attacking wide role we haven't seen so far this season. So, Sam Smith for you, Tom, would he be a starter next Saturday against Bolton?
I mean, he's the way that he played it, he sort of played himself into that position where it would seem harsh for him not to start, I think. But, you know, Bonner's probably going to address it based on who we're playing, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But it was a different performance from what I actually remember Smith being like the first time round. I don't necessarily remember him being that sort of harrying sort of workhorse up front like he was yesterday, sort of chasing everything down. That might just be me sort of misremembering what he was like before, but I think alongside someone like Ironside, who obviously does so much work anyway, that is such a good partner for him to have. And we know that he's got ability on the ball, like his first touch is very good, and he's obviously got the confidence to be able to take on shots like that. And you know, it's the old cliche, if you don't buy a ticket, et cetera, you know, every now and again you're going to get a deflection. So, I think he's certainly worthy of a mensch, and I think he played very, very well. on Saturday against Burton, and we talked quite a lot in pre-season that he might be someone who sort of is a bit of a victim of the system in terms of the amount of minutes that he plays and the sort of amount of goals that he might be able to score. But if he keeps playing like that, then it's going to be pretty impossible to sort of leave him out, really.
Brilliant. Right, let's round off part one by looking at sort of the back five, who had a terrific day for us on Saturday. Bit of a turbulent week for our defence. We obviously went into the Plymouth game on Tuesday night low on numbers. We brought Okadina in, but has picked up an injury. He's out for not a long period of time, but a couple of weeks anyway. Then literally the worst thing that could happen to us happened. Our most experienced centre-back and club captain went down with what looks like a really nasty injury early in the game on Tuesday. All the thoughts from everyone at UTAS are with Greg, and we hope to see you back on the pitch soon. Going into the game against Burton on Saturday, early doors, there was an announcement that we signed a young lad on loan from QPR, a guy who had a bit of pedigree. I think he played about 10, 15 games in the Championship, had a period on loan in League One with Swindon. Thrown straight into the starting lineup, Bonner did say that he'd been in with the club training a couple of times in a week, so wasn't brand new, but was pretty brand new into the lineup. I guess the best thing I could say about Masterson's debut, Julian, was that I didn't really notice him. That's how sort of well he sort of slotted into the team. I think he was involved with the second goal. I know it's very early doors to make full conclusions on the fella, but it was a pretty good showing on Saturday, right?
I thought he played really, really well. I thought he slotted in really well. I think Bonner said he'd only actually trained on Friday and it was a light session with the team. So he was really, really fresh. And I thought it was a really, really good display from him. I mean, kept a clean sheet on his debut, so nothing more to say about that. But let's have a minute for the pass leading up to the first goal. The one outside of the boot, we were right behind it in our eye line. Perfect ball into, I think it might have been Idel, who then dropped it back to Wes, laid it off to Smith. So really involved in the build-up going forward, really comfortable carrying the ball out of defence. And yeah, it's on the centre-back situation, this isn't a defence of only having three centre-backs on the squad, because I think we can all agree that that was always a bit threadbare, and Bonner had said that they were still looking to recruit in that situation, in that area of the pitch. But I think that it's still massively unlucky to get three injuries all in the same position. Even if we had five centre-halves on the books, you'd be looking at a bare-bones central defence anyway. So I think there's definitely an element of bad luck in where our injuries have come, or, i.e. all in the same position. And the longest term one being our skipper, who, as you say, friend of the pod, Greg Taylor, wishing him the speediest of recoveries. And George, you made a good point after the Plymouth game in the week. I just hope that's not the last time we see Greg Taylor in a Cambridge United shirt, if it's as bad as some of the news that's coming out. If it's a season long, and then, I mean, we don't need to speculate, but maybe let's just leave it at that and hope that that isn't the last time we do see Greg in a Cambridge shirt. But yeah, it was a really good display across the back four, and something that we've spoken about before is sort of the like intangibles. So not the stats, the things that you can't quite, like spirit and all these sorts of words that, you know, you'd see it like a psychology sort of TED talk or something like that, like the spirit and determination in that squad to keep a clean sheet, like right down to the last kick of that game. We're 3-0 up and Lloyd Jones is charging down the last shot of the game on the edge of the box, and it's those things that I think will be really important in us staying up. I mean, we're 3-0 up, and we sort of talked about Mitov saves. I mean, these are two small moments, but I think they just show the character in this side, which is going to be so important for us. And the defence were brilliant yesterday, and especially at that.
Yeah, let's finish our talk on the defence by sort of just saying that it's a back five, isn't it? And that includes Mitov and Tom. You mentioned the save right at the end there, but is it safe to say that rather quietly, Mitov has been getting on with it really well this season? He's had a pretty impressive first four games, some good saves. Definitely seems more vocal and commanding, which is perhaps one of the areas that he's not always been the best at. quietly going about his business and actually is proving that he can deal with a step up in quality and step up to League One.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's one that I've been on the fence about, should we say, for quite a long time now. And I was a little bit sceptical about, especially off the back of a pretty nasty injury sort of in the middle of last season, could he come back and make the step up to League One when I wasn't, you know, maybe incorrectly, you know, not, you know, kind of not absolutely convinced by whether he could do it. And yeah, he's been brilliant. So, you know, another one who, you know, it's only fair that, you know, if I sort of pick at these points sort of in previous pods, it's only fair that when, you know, he does play well, we sort of, you know, equally, you know, sort of praise him in equal measure. Yeah, he's been excellent. And it, in a situation where your centre backs are basically all injured, it must be so good for Mark Bonner to be able to rely on the goalkeeper, and it's so important to be able to do that. So huge credit to him, and obviously hopefully long may that continue. Just quickly while we're on the defence as well, another one that I feel was certainly worthy of a bit of an extended mention is Lloyd Jones, who, you know, not someone that I knew, you know, too much about before he signed. Clearly came with some, you know, fairly decent reviews and, you know, from sort of Northampton fans. But I just think when he's on the pitch, it just brings the level of the team up. He's just such a good player. And he's going to be crucial for us going forward. And, you know, especially with Greg Taylor out, you know, one of the things that Greg Taylor was so good at last season was sort of coaching more junior players sort of, you know, through games. And for Masterson to sort of come in and you know, basically thrown straight into the starting lineup, that was such an important job for Jones to do in terms of actually sort of helping him through the game. Look, clearly Masterson's a player with ability, but it can't be easy. And I thought he did it superbly, and he sort of leads by example. You know, he's one of those players like to be. You could forgive players for not quite giving a shit as much in the 90th minute, 3-0 up, as they do in the first minute at 0-0. But you would have thought it was the first minute and it was 0-0 the way that he was sort of, you know, throwing himself in front of things at the end. So huge credit to him and sort of all the defence, because, you know, if we're going to, you know, have what we would perceive to be a successful season and survive this year, our defensive solidity is going to be absolutely central to that. So it's really good to see that that's something that hopefully we can sort of build upon.
I'm going to end this part by putting one more piece of praise onto the back five, with the exception of Brigadier Williams, who's, you know, a little bit older than the rest of them and has played at this level for at least sort of 4 or 5 seasons. The rest of that back five are pretty young, pretty inexperienced, but my God, watching them, you just don't know it, do you? Really showing maturity beyond their years, and I feel trust watching them. And yeah, it's so nice to see a little sort of extra ability in the back five as well. Masterton and Jones both look like they know how to pass the ball and play it around. So it's great to see that step up from some of the centre backs that we've been used to seeing over the last couple of years back in League Two. I think that will do for part one. Join us in part two, where we're going to look ahead to the two games we've got this week. Welcome back to part two of Under the Abbey Stand. After the positivity of the result on Saturday against Burton, let's look ahead to the two fixtures that we've got coming up this week. The first one, Tuesday night, away to Millwall in the League Cup. Tom Walker has dusted off his finest Stone Island jacket and is all ready for it. Tom, I guess it's a Tuesday, so it means no Wes. You were at Plymouth last week, where we saw a new sort of invention from Bonner for sort of dealing with the no Wes situation. And that was a more conventional 4-3-3. I thought Brophy and Tracy did a really good job, especially first half, getting beyond Ironside. And I quite like that formation and that shape. I would happily see that again. Do you reckon he'll roll it out for Millwall, or do you think he might go with a different, a more sort of defensive five in midfield?
Yeah, I'm actually quite interested to sort of see what the lineup is, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him go, sort of revert to what it was like, you know, against Plymouth. Obviously, Brophy at times in the last couple of games has been a bit sloppy on the ball and with set pieces, but he is a player that gets you up the pitch, and Tracy clearly offers, you know, a similar sort of thing in terms of being able to just sort of get at teams. And I think in the sort of situation that we're going to be in at Millwall, you know, going away to a championship team, you'd expect that they would have most of the play. I don't know what sort of lineup they're likely to come out with, whether they're going to make a lot of changes, et cetera, but, you know, you'd expect that they'd be looking to sort of dominate the game. So it's clearly going to be a lot of soaking up pressure and then trying to hit them on the break, which is kind of what we tried to do against Plymouth a little bit. And to have players like Brophy and Tracy in the team to do that, I think it's probably going to be our best option. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I think we might see minutes to a couple of the others as well, who maybe aren't playing as much. I think it was mentioned that Lancaster might get some minutes at Millwall, which would be good to see. You know, a player I think we're all fairly interested by, and it would be good to see what he can sort of bring to the team. I don't think he'll start, but you know, it'd be good to see if he can sort of get on towards the end, maybe, and obviously see what he can do. But it should be a fun trip. It should be a good day out. Clearly, there's certain connotations attached to Millwall away that we all know about, but it's the first time we've obviously played at the Den for a long time, and I just hope that we take a good following down there. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the League Cup and some of the nights that we've had over the years in that competition, and you know, why not? Like, why shouldn't we be able to add another one to that? And
I think the pressure's on them as well, Tom. You know, obviously they're a league above, but they're 21st at the moment. They've not won yet. They drew their first two and they've lost their last two. I don't know if Tuesday will be a bit of a free hit to get themselves back on form, or if anything, losing to a team in a division below might cause them a bit more stress and a bit more sort of questions being asked of the management. So could go either way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a free hit for us, I think. Look, it's not an absolutely impossible task. Like, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we could go there and actually just beat them. But it's obviously a lot more difficult for them than it will be for us. Then, you know, if it's 3-0, you know, to Millwall, you know, no one's going to really care from our side. You know, we probably just want to see a bit of encouragement and a little bit of just try and compete, basically, or you'd like to think that we can go and compete. But yeah, it's clearly one where we can hopefully go with sort of no pressure, and sometimes that brings the best out of teams. But yeah, it obviously sort of remains to be seen. But yeah, very much looking forward to a trip to Bandit Country.
Julian Roberts, you called in sick last Tuesday and decided to not go to Plymouth away. You were watching it at home on iFollow, and we were chatting. And you agreed with me. You quite liked the 4-3-3 shape that we had, especially in the first half. I think one of my criticisms of playing one up top with just Ironside on his own is it felt like no one was getting beyond him and no one was sort of winning those flick-ons. What was your take on the sort of that shape that we saw against Plymouth, and would you expect to see it against Millwall?
What I really liked about that 4-3-3 was the three centre mids, actually. I thought Adam Mays, someone that I've given a lot of stick to on this podcast over time. Well, not a lot of stick, but just I've not been massively convinced by him, and a lot.
Look at him backpedaling. Jordan smiling. Look at.
Okay, maybe it is a lot of stick. But no, okay. I've been sceptical of him in the past, and I think the few times I've seen him this season, and including in pre-season, I think he's played really well. And I thought that midfield three was really, really good in that system. And Weir can obviously slip in there, someone I probably would expect to see on Tuesday. And I was really pleased when, as we said, Taylor went off injured, that Digby wasn't the one that slotted in at centre-half, because he's absolutely crucial to anything in that centre midfield. But as you said, I think you're absolutely right with wingers going on beyond Ironside. And I would be pretty surprised if we didn't see that formation. But as a question to both of you, do you think Ironside's going to play, just in terms of minutes, looking at how many minutes he's played? Obviously, he gives he leaves everything on the pitch, so to speak. Do you think there's anything going through Bonner's mind, thinking he'd want a fresh Joe for Bolton on Saturday rather than Tuesday?
This is where I'm quite interested to see what he does, because I have a slight inkling that he might just completely rotate it, and it might be like a similar sort of team that played against Swindon with, like, I think Warman played, Nib started, Smith started, for example, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him just do that. Obviously the league's the priority, like it is for, you know, most teams in this competition, but I could see him really sort of rotating it. But Joe will be desperate to play, won't he? He's had a pretty decent start to the season, I think, all things considered. So I think he's one of those, and there's no real basis for this, but I feel like he's one of those who looks a bit more tired than he probably is at times. I think just the way that he sort of moves and the way that he sort of plays the game, it can sometimes look like he's absolutely knackered. Like Dunk's very similar in that, like, he always looks knackered, and he might be, but I think there is just a sense that, it'll be okay, basically.
Yeah, I'm worried about answering this one because Tom and I had this exact chat ahead of Swindon, and I called that Ironside would be rested, and Tom made a good point about continuity and getting minutes in and confidence. And then Ironside didn't play against Swindon. So I'm worried that I might get my prediction game wrong this time round. But I, for some reason, reckon he might play Ironside. I think just how competitive we were against Plymouth, and just needing that, we're going to need that outlet. Like Tom says, we're not going to have much possession. We're probably going to be soaking it up and expecting Millwall to do the majority of the work and then try and hit them on the break. And I think Ironside might just be the key for how that system will work. But I guess we'll find out on Tuesday night. Good chance to make it to the third round, which would be nice. Will Ironside be rested and fit for Bolton on Saturday? Because I guess that's the big one, as we play another team that came up with us last season. We're going to talk about the Bolton game in just a second. But before that, we're going to play our interview with a gentleman called James, who's part of the Bolton podcast, The Lion of the Vienna Suite.
Right, I'm with James from the Lion of Vienna Suite Bolton podcast. Thank you very much, James, for chatting to us today. I guess firstly, slightly delayed, but congratulations on promotion from League Two last season. you guys did it in a slightly odd way, kind of not really winning for the first half of the season, then going on this crazy run in the second half. What was that? What was that like as a fan watching that?
Well, in the first half of the season, it was extremely frustrating because we were hoping to be challenging up towards that end from the off. But no, it seemed more like a mid-table, possible, just try to avoid relegation type of campaign. But the January transfer window, bringing in solid additions, the likes of MJ Williams, Dapo Afolayan, Kieran Lee, just Declan John, just to shore up some of the weakest parts of our midfield, as well as some of the other players that we got in the summer transfer window settling a lot better alongside each other. It all just seemed to click from January onwards. And after a calamitous performance against Tranmere, I don't know what to say. Everything just clicked. 16 wins out of 21 and only 3 losses. It's the kind of run you can only really dream about.
Yeah. And then I guess the good run is kind of sort of continued with the start to this season as well, right? You've won 2, drawn 2, not lost. What's the secret to sort of your good start to the season so far?
Well, we finished the League 2 season with our strongest result of the season, a 4-1 win against Crawley. And we've also retained a lot of that squad from that campaign. You know, they're all really settled. I think I saw a statistic that said we'd retained about 80% of our squad from last season, and some of those squad members, like the likes of the aforementioned John and Afolayan, as well as a few others, we just thought were too good for this league on quality alone. So we figured a lot of those players would be able to handle the step up to League One with no issue. And yeah, it's kind of just a case of riding the momentum, and Ian Evatt being the brilliant taskmaster that he is, he's He's harsh on them on the training ground, keeping them as fit as possible, despite some COVID interruptions in our squad and one or two injuries to players that we really didn't want. We've managed to keep most of our squad fit and healthy, and it's just the momentum carrying over on from last season.
And then obviously a good win yesterday against Oxford. What was the story of the match there?
Well, the story of the match is that we were 1-0 down after 11 minutes, though their goal really shouldn't have stood. The referee was a calamity. We had him in the in a game against Tranmere last season where similar issues happened. A red card wasn't given. We got a really, really harsh penalty given against us. But thankfully, unlike that game against Tranmere, it was a different mentality, a winning mentality, and we pushed on. An absolutely brilliant goal from Athelion from outside the box, curving into the bottom right-hand corner. And then in the second half, we kicked it up another gear. Oxford were still challenging us, but a brilliant ball from Sheehan, who was one of League Two's best players that year. I cannot believe we've got him on a free. We're really fortunate on that regard. To Dial, and we know what he can do in front of goal. Yeah, and after that, we just managed to hold on without them really threatening too much, despite their brilliant passing style of play.
Brilliant. Obviously, you mentioned Sheehan. Cambridge fans listening to this would obviously know a little bit about Bolton, because obviously we played you twice last year. Is there anything sort of different, you know, from what we saw from Bolton last year in terms of personnel or tactics or formation that we might see when we play you again on Saturday?
That's actually kind of a tough one, because
sorry,
we're sort of playing similar to how we were last season, but I think it's just we've got slightly better personnel. The aforementioned Sheehan, who is replacing Kieran Lee as a starting member of the lineup from last season, has more and more ability about him. Can usually find a better pass, has better set piece delivery, which has really helped up our game, especially when we were, for a lot of the season last year, only grinding out 1-0 wins. So that's helped to add a lot of more goals to our game. I think it's just improving on what we already had from last season. And I'd expect a Cambridge side, especially Cambridge side, that despite doing well so far in this season, are missing their top goal scorer from last season. And so I figure our defence might have an easier time. Despite the form of Joe Ironside.
Yeah. Let's end there and let's be bold and make predictions for next Saturday. What do you reckon the final score will be?
Oh, yeah, I'll stick with the boldness. I don't think you're going to score. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Bolton.
2-0 win. Brilliant. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you again to James for chatting to us earlier today and giving us a little insight into Bolton. Julian, I'm going to start with you. How do you fancy Saturday working out for us against Bolton? Because they've started really well. They're unbeaten, won a couple of games. They beat a very strong Oxford on Saturday. And like James was saying, they've kept a lot of, 80% of their players, he reckons, from last season. So they're a strong outfit.
Yeah, they do look a really, really decent side, and they sort of strike me as one of those clubs that win one promotion and then follow it straight up with a second, like Luton did a few years ago. It's been a great start to the season for them. They seem to score a lot of goals, 2-3 all draws in their first four games, but then obviously they're beating Lincoln and, as you mentioned yesterday, Oxford. We had a horrible time last time we went to their place at the end of last season. From my memory, the home game was a draw, and they probably should have won that from what I remember of watching that. But it was something that we were quite happy to come out of that with a point. Open question: Would you take a point tomorrow? Not tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I take as many draws as we can to get us to that magic total of 50 points. Tom, last season, Bolton had arguably the best midfield in League Two, minus obviously a certain Wes Houlihan. This time round, they've got the same personnel, but they also picked up Josh Sheehan in the summer as well. So pretty intimidating midfield five that we're going to come up against on Saturday, aren't we?
Yeah, they're a good team. she and someone that I remember us talking about, I think it was when we played Newport, the feels like a lifetime ago now, but I think it was kind of at the beginning of last season, was one of the standout players in League Two last season and has been for a couple of years, in all honesty. And, you know, they're obviously pretty happy. And obviously the guy there, James, obviously mentioned basically the same thing, that he feels he's a real sort of coup for Bolton. You know, we'll obviously get someone like Sheehan. I can't really think of a game against Bolton without thinking back to the game at their place and just like the way that we just sort of folded as if we didn't even deserve to be on the same pitch as them. Yes, they're a good team. They play nice football, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there's a game there to be won. I'm interested to see how it goes because, you know, I would probably agree with Julian that they seem like the sort of club who have just, after some pretty difficult years sort of financially with ownership, et cetera, you know, a couple of relegations, obviously down to League Two, where they'll feel for them is absolutely sort of rock bottom almost. It feels like something's just sort of clicked there a little bit and they'll be back on the way up and probably they'll probably be looking towards the top six this season, maybe as a sort of optimistic, you know, sort of expectation of what could happen. But
it's going to be a big challenge for our defence, isn't it, Tom? We, you know, Burton, I think we're a little bit toothless on Saturday, whereas Bolton have got Doyle, who knows how to poach and how to find the back of the net. So it's going to be a real test for the two young centre-backs, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say about Doyle, he's someone that seems to have caused us a few issues over the years, and he's just such a good goal scorer when you can put him in the sort of right system. And he's one that, I guess in the kind of Mullin mould from last year, that you might not notice him for 94 minutes and then there he is at the back post and just sort of pops up with something. So he's obviously one we have to watch out for. Sarcevic, for me, is
what a player.
Yeah, he's very, very good. I mean, last season, I think he actually spent quite a bit of time out injured, but you know, for him to have a player of that ability in League Two was pretty frightening, really. And the fact that, you know, guys like Kieran Lee, who has spent such a long time playing regularly in the Championship with Sheffield Wednesday, he doesn't even start for them. Like, they do have a good squad, so it's clearly going to be a tough game, but I don't think we were a million miles off them last season. We obviously drew at the Abbey and, you know, at their place, it was a bit of a capitulation in the first half, I seem to recall, but yeah, I'd like to think that we can go into that game with a similar mentality to the Burton game, that, look, it's going to be difficult, but I think we can cause them problems.
I think that's spot on there, what you just said, Tom. That's the main thing that I'm looking for from this game, is like just approaching the game in the right way. I don't think there isn't any need to be scared of them. It's only late August. Like, go and try and win the game. We're playing at home. Like, let's actually like seize a bit of initiative. I know we've just gone through how good they are and how strong they are, but you know, Burton, as going back right to the start of the pod, they're no mugs themselves, and we went and really took the game to them. And you know, we'd have to go over everything, but we created those chances and we come out of it 3-0 winners. There's nothing to say that as long as we try and approach the game the right way, that's what I really want to see from us is play on the front foot, give them some problems, and you know, attack is the best form of defence. That's what I'd like to see, is us just go and have a go at them, because the most frustrating thing is we'll mention it for the last time, but that 2-1 defeat at their place was just a rollover from minute one, and that is as dispiriting a performance as you'd want to see. And I know they're in the middle of an incredible run in the second half of last season, but that's the main thing for me, is just approaching the game the right way and actually giving it a go.
I think it was you, Julian, earlier in the pod that said that Bonner's going to line up for specific opponents and we probably won't see the same system every game. I've got a feeling Saturday at home to Bolton, we might see a little bit more of a replication of the Oxford game at the start of the season. We might be a little bit more cautious, but all to play for. I think that's a good point to leave it for today. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. If you haven't done so already, please do click subscribe on whatever output you're listening to us on, because we do these every week. Enjoy the two games this week. Tom Walker will be at both. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much. Because you're back. Up the U's.
Julian will be at both as well.
I will be. See you, boys. See you next week.
See you soon. Bye-bye.